The woman in the video had been dead for 3 years. Captain Elizabeth Sade had been killed with her command, Queen of England, in the desperate battle to defend Earth from the Khanzi assault. 3 years to the day. Captain Harold Rawson was usually better about not torturing himself with could-have-beens and would-have-beens than this, but on the anniversary of his lover's death, he dug out the old videos they'd made when they'd returned to Earth and before everything had gone to hell again. It was extremely early in the morning by the ship's clock aboard Liberty, and few of the heavy cruiser's sounds filtered into the captain's cabin. She floated in hyperspace, roughly 1 light-year away from the Alpha Centauri system. Real-world distances didn't map neatly to the strangely fluid dimension the species of the galaxy used for faster-than-light travel, and Liberty was always a quiet ship at any point. The video frame that hung on Harold's wall normally held a slowly rotating image of Liberty herself, recorded at her commissioning 6 months before. She'd been the first of the Duchy of Terra's new heavy cruisers, a combination of native technology and the skill and knowledge of their imperial overlords. It could be switched to show anything, however, and right now it showed the ethereal blonde Harold hadn't realized how much he'd loved until it had been too late, allowing the captain his allocated time of self-pitying, moping where no one could see him. The alert chime rang through his quarters with its carefully calibrated attention-gathering song. A tapped command restored the video frame to its default, and Harold rose to face the intercom, letting the cabin system recognize that he was responding to the call and link it through.
"Captain Rawson," he greeted. "What's going on?"
"Sorry to wake you, sir." His tactical officer, Nita Lyon, greeted him from the small video screen. "We have something odd on the anomaly scanner, and I wanted to get your take on it." The officer on duty's job was to inform the captain if she thought he was needed, so Harold simply nodded.
"What have we got, Lieutenant Commander?"
he asked. "It looks like several anomalies moving in convoy toward Centauri, but their approach vector doesn't line up with any known currents or Imperial star systems," she replied. "I make it 4 ships, moving at 0.6C. Harold whistled silently. Liberty was a Thunderstorm-class cruiser, built, like the Duchess's old cruiser Tornado, to do everything as well as possible regardless of cost, and her reactionless interface drive could pull 0.6C for only limited sprint maneuvers.
"That's not a colonist convoy," he noted.
"Any of those would be coming from Sol along the carefully mapped currents,
or Imperial either.
There were 200,000 people at the colony in Centauri. Technically, their protection was the responsibility of the Imperial Navy, but since Sol was nearby and the colonists were human, Liberty was there."
"Any identifiers?"
he asked. "Nothing," Lyon replied. The anomaly scanner didn't give them much to work with. All it really told them was that someone's drive existed and how fast it was moving.
"I'll be on the bridge momentarily,"
Harold told her, then paused to consider.
"Take us to Condition 2. This doesn't feel right."
The dimmed hallway lighting of a night shift watch had returned to the bright of full operations by the time Harold left his cabin. Condition 2 had alerts going off all over the ship, but they were quieter things than the full battle station's alert, targeted by the ship's computer systems to the crew members who needed to join the night shift. Liberty had been designed by Terrans, based on Imperial technology and a few things Harold wasn't supposed to talk about. Less modular than Tornado, the first hyperspace ship Harold had served on, it had also been designed by a militia that had earned its spurs in battle. The most immediate consequence of that was that the captain's cabin was less than 12 steps from the bridge, and Harold entered the massive 2-tiered horseshoe that ran his warship mere moments after telling Lyon he'd be there. The captain wasn't an immense man, but he'd long since cultivated his long red hair and bushy beard into an image far larger than he was.
Technically, his hair was a violation of the uniform regulations the militia had inherited from the pre-annexation United Earth Space Force, but Tornado's original crew were given more slack than others. "Report, Lion," he ordered, dropping into the command chair on the raised dais at the center of the bridge. Repeater screens, carefully designed to allow the captain to understand just what all of his senior officers were looking at, folded in around him, the computer easily remembering his usual preference for their positions. "We've solidified our scans," the bleached blonde tactical officer told him briskly. "We've confirmed four targets, moving in a formation approximately 100,000 kilometers across. They're definitely en route to Alpha Centauri, and we make it over 90% likely they're heading directly for Hope." Hope was a chilly world, only semi-habitable by human standards, but its proximity had made it humanity's first colony under the auspices of their new alien overlords.
"Commander Popovich,"
Harold turned to his communications officer.
"Per the last update when we left Sol, what's the Centauri picket's strength?"
"Two of our capital-class destroyers, two Imperial Sunlight-class light cruisers, and four Imperial Descendant-class destroyers."
Nizar Popovich reeled off instantly.
"Only the capitals and one of the Sunlights have been upgraded to the full new defensive specifications."